Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life. All right, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman, and I'm sitting here with...
Hey, I'm Tom Regan.
Tom Regan. We've just been doing the smaller crew here lately. It's when we're nimble, we're fast, like a little...
Sleek.
We're sleek, like a little ship. Like a small boat.
Swift.
Not a big boat. I don't know anything about boats. I know there's a word for a small boat. We also have a very special guest with us here today. Very special guest. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Stephanie Garrison.
Hi, Stephanie Garrison. Stephanie is one of our kids ministry leads here at Imprint. When we were separated, I guess it would be for Imprint Woodinville, because that's where you guys are. But we're very, very thankful to have Stephanie on the team. Stephanie, how long have you guys been around Imprint?
I think it's been about 6 years, I want to say.
Okay, gotcha. What brought you guys over here?
We had been going to another church that was starting to start its closing, on the way there. And I was in a Bible study group with Rose Tom and Kim Itriide, and they said, hey, check out our church, and we came over, and it's been great.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did. Ben's been on the podcast before. You might see Ben on some Sunday mornings running projections, stuff like that. You'll see Stephanie running around on Sunday mornings, making sure everything's running well in our kids' wing. So we're very, very thankful for that.
Thank you.
In a big way. Well, tell you what, why don't we... I guess we all set this up. We've been in a bit of a series lately, for the first part of this year, where we've been walking through people's stories. We're calling it the word of their testimony. And where does that come from, Tom?
That comes from Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11. It talks about how Satan, the accuser of our brothers and sisters, accuses them before our God day and night. It says, he's been thrown down. It says, they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives to the point of death.
Mm. That's powerful stuff. What that means is that there is power in what God has done in our lives. There's power in talking about that and celebrating these things. This is how we overcome the evil one, is by listening to what the Lord has done, by proclaiming what the Lord has done in our lives. So we're happy to do that in this. So, Stephanie, I guess we'll kick this off the way that we have a lot. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Georgia, in a town called Columbus. Down in the South.
Down in the South. I'm also from down in the South.
Yeah.
So that's fun. You also don't have a Southern accent.
Right. I think I learned English from television.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You grew up speaking?
Well, when I was very little, I grew up, my parents are Chinese immigrants, so they speak Mandarin at home. I wouldn't, but I'm a native English speaker now, obviously. So they didn't have a Southern accent. I watched a lot of TV as a kid.
Gotcha,
And then I used to say y'all all the time, and when I moved here, I got teased for it.
Oh, see,
so cut it out.
I still say y'all. I think it's way more efficient. Yeah, it's actually in almost every language except English, there is a separate word for the second person
plural.
I like
to say
ye. I say yeen.
Ye.
Yeen is not a word.
Yeah.
You grew up in the South. You said your parents, they immigrated.
Mm-hmm.
How long had they been in the States when you were born?
I think they came in the 70s. I was born in 84. So,
gotcha. So,
you're just a youngin.
Just a youngin. that's really cool. You grew up then? How long have you been in Washington then?
We moved in 2006. So it's been how many? 16 years.
Okay, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 2022. That's weird. I know that a lot happened between then.
Right.
You guys, 1984 and then 2006. You weren't just watching TV that whole time, I imagine.
A lot of it, no.
Oh, man. So what was your faith background growing up? What did faith look like in your home?
So basically nothing. We didn't have any religion at home. But I did go to a Christian preschool. All I remember from that is singing Jesus Loves Me, Jesus Loves the Little Children. So I had some exposure. Obviously, being in Georgia, you hear things. I think I went to a VBS when I was a little kid also. The only thing I remember from that is that Stephen got stoned.
Oh,
because
oh boy.
My brother's name is Stephen. I thought that was funny. So I had heard the terms like God's word. Hmm. And to me, that meant that Christians thought that the Bible fell out of the sky. Or I'd heard the term believe in Jesus. And I thought that meant believe that he exists like Santa Claus or not. And I think it wasn't until I remember being in either fifth or sixth grade, and in our social studies class in the textbook, there was like a little section about Jesus as a historical person. I was like, wait, what?
Because to you at that point, it was like, he was like Santa Claus.
Exactly.
He was Easter Bunny. Yeah,
totally. So that was my, like, I had no literacy in anything there.
It wasn't really a category for it. It sounds like, was your family like resistant to religion?
At that point,
it just wasn't a thing.
It just wasn't a thing. So then fast forward a bit to when I was in high school. I believe I was in 10th grade. I was on the tennis team. Not good at tennis.
But somehow you made the team?
Everybody made the team.
Okay, everybody made the team, yeah.
But we were at a tennis tournament away, and I had a friend who was this just wonderful girl, kind, beautiful, friendly, just very likable, and she shared the gospel with me.
That's awesome.
On the bus home from this tennis tournament.
How did she, I'm just curious, like, how did she talk to you about it? I was like, have you ever heard this? And I'm going to share this as kind of just like all,
pretty much thing. She just, shared the whole gospel. And I have, again, no literacy in this. So she was saying stuff that I didn't understand at all. I was like, she's talking about a lamb.
Interesting.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
So I had
So there was some like Christianese language in there, some Christian
so
type.
Like, I heard the gospel, the words. Did not understand it one bit, but what made an impact on me when she shared was that she was telling me this in tears. Like, it was obviously something that was very important to her, that she cared deeply about, that she cared that I heard.
Yeah.
And so I was intrigued.
Yeah, I mean, no one cries trying to convince you to believe that Santa Claus is real. I don't think, unless maybe your kids might. If you have kids listening, maybe, okay, this could go really wrong. Anyway, keep going.
I know, right? So she invited me to church with her, and I went one time. And again, I don't remember exactly what the sermon was about. I think it might have been around Christmas time, and maybe there was something about Mary. But at the end, there was like this altar call type of thing where the pastor said, well, if you trust in Jesus... while people were praying at their seats, you know, raise your hand. And I remember at that moment being like, I want to raise my hand. Like, I want to be able to raise my hand, but I can't. I don't know even what that means. And feeling like at that point I was crying, like, I don't know why, but I want to figure this out.
Yeah.
So later on in high school, I was attending church somewhat regularly with a different friend at a different church, and kind of just trying to learn more. Through this, you know, in high school, let me tell you a bit about me. I was like a nerd, like a good kid, really good grades, and like I didn't, you know, it wasn't like partying or that kind of stuff, or like, so I saw myself as a good person, right? So I was like, well, I'm just like these Christian kids, basically. Like, why do I need Jesus? So I was going to church and hearing the sermons and seeing like, oh, these are nice lessons, but why do I need Jesus?
Did you hear in those messages that you need Jesus, or were you hearing kind of moralism? Like,
I think
be a good
hearing,
person.
Yeah, I was thinking, well, that, yeah, exactly. And that was my view of Christianity, is the goal is to become a good person.
Yeah.
So
do you feel like that's where the messages went to? Like, was that?
I don't remember exactly. Yeah. Maybe that was like my preconceived notion of what I was supposed to. And so that's what it was filtering in to me as, or if maybe that was the message, but maybe the message wasn't strong enough that that wasn't the case.
But there was still something in you that was struggling with, why do I need Jesus? So clearly you were hearing something about Jesus, like you needed Jesus, and you're trying to figure out how that all fit together.
So still didn't understand through high school. So then I went to college. Still had this desire. Wanted to see. And I, at that point, was thinking like, well, you know, I'd really like to understand this, but it's just not possible for me. There are some things that don't seem to fit with my life, and what I already think about the world or whatever. So when I got to college, I had a friend from high school who was in the same college, and she was a Christian. She was going to activities through Campus Crusade, which is now called CRU. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I would like go along with her, and like in her friend group. I met lots of other people who were Christians at that time, who were just like willing to have conversations. Mm. And I would have questions, and we would, you know, talk about things. There was also, I think, like an email put out to Chinese people at the school, I'd say, inviting them to a Bible study. I think I was the only person to respond. And I went to this Bible study for the Chinese fellowship on campus. And at this point, I had met Ben.
Wait, were you the only person that showed up? You were the only person that responded. Were you the only person that showed up?
I'm the only person that showed up.
Oh, my goodness.
and Ben went with me,
husband,
Who now my husband. He was not a husband or boyfriend at the time.
Yeah, he's also not Chinese either.
Yes. So we went to this thing together, and I think the first time they were like in Romans 1. Mm. So it was just like really like thrown into some like questions about
what's going on here.
Sin and So anyways, through Campus Ministries, I also started attending a church that was nearby our campus. One thing that was helpful there was an apologetics Sunday school class. That kind of cleared up some of the intellectual
things.
Was
that just like a come with questions kind of thing? Or was it?
No, it was like taught by this older man who had been, I think, a professor. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, went through some of the...
the big questions. And
Like maybe scientific things. Where I was at Georgia Tech, so this is a tech school. A lot of, going through a lot of those... things that might be hangups, and that was really helpful there. But it was still for me. I was like, okay, I can see how maybe these things work out, but still, there's that big question of like, why do I need Jesus? And it was just a long process of realizing that even though my life didn't look like what I thought a sinful life was, that I was still living not according to God's will, I was not worshiping him. I was not living the life that he created me for. So it wasn't until my second year of college in the fall. Continuing to I was also reading the Bible, and praying and doing all the things, but intellectually, I think some things had cleared up, but then seeing God's work around me was.
Can you think of an example of that?
It's kind of funny. I don't remember a lot of things long term. But during this time, I actually kept a journal. The only time in my life that I've kept a journal is during this year of around when I became a Christian. And so I was reading it back as I was preparing for this. And there was one time where I had written about these three small instances of things that happened, which, you know, maybe you could think of just as like coincidences or whatever, but like they were really impactful for me as seeing God working around me. And it was like one day that I was like rushed or frazzled going to class or something, and there was a sign up on a post just saying, "Smile, Jesus loves you." And I was like, oh, wow. Or another time that I was late to class, didn't get a chance to eat breakfast, and people from campus ministry were handing out free donuts. Or then another time where they were giving out bags of a Bible and Case for Christ, the book. And just those things, I was like, wow, God is really pursuing me. And so like those kinds of things were really making it real to me. And then having conversations with people along the way,
and you're realizing, oh, he's not just abstract, he's not just abstraction, like he's real, he's personal.
Exactly. So yeah, that's kind of—
so where is— was your relationship with Ben at this point? Was he like having spiritual conversations with you, or—
yeah, he was having spiritual conversations with you. He was one of the main people that would like process things with me, including other people who were at the church or in discipleship groups at Through Crew. So it was my discipleship group leader who ended up praying with me.
That's awesome.
To accept Jesus.
So then it sounds like up to that point, things were a very gradual process. Would you say that after that point there was kind of this a gradual knowing, or was there kind of like a spike in your sense of like understanding and nearness to God?
I mean, I think it's gradual, but— and I think it's still gradual. You know, like it was— something clicked that I was like, yes, now I remember looking in my journal and saying, like, there's this one time where I was like, I trust Jesus, but I don't know if I'm a Christian yet, because like, should I take communion? I don't know.
Trying to figure out all that
stuff. So there was still a lot of things that I didn't understand. And once I, you know, accepted and said, you know, made a proclamation of, yes, now I am a Christian, there was still a while where I think there were things that I needed to get cleared up in my head. I think I still thought of it as like an accomplishment. I was like, now I did this. I never thought I could, and I did it. Like, now I'm a Christian.
So it started with almost like I want to be able to believe this thing, and then just over a long kind of organic stretch of time, that ability to believe was fostered. That's a really interesting story. And I just so you know, I don't know if I think most people don't have the instant, you know, well, now I say I trust Jesus and now everything's perfect, I turned it around kind of time.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. What changed, I guess, in your life, or even just the way that you pursued Jesus after that point?
Yeah, I would say things started to change, in some ways kind of quickly, in some ways not, but it was like, now I have to reevaluate, things that I think, things that I do, my hobbies, like, is this activity glorifying to God? Now like meshing my new worldview with my old self.
Yeah, and way of life, yeah.
Yeah. That what I had expected though still was like, well, now I'm going to be like, you know, still having that view of the goal being
morality.
Yeah, yeah, like a good person, like exactly, like achievement, performance, thinking like, oh, now all my relationships are going to be great. Now, you know, everything's going to be like sunshine and roses. And yeah. that definitely wasn't yeah. the case.
Yeah. Are you, like, I think I know the answer to this. Are you like a high performer by nature? I know you said you got good grades in high yes. school and that kind of thing. Like yes. that's like, has that been like a constant thing in your life of like, I'm going to do a good job at this
Absolutely.
And I'm going to do well.
Absolutely. That was basically like my whole life.
Yeah.
Like very like achievement was, yeah. was the thing that yeah. I was like, good at that I got yeah. recognized for mm-hmm. that I got
maybe not in tennis
for.
But yeah
right
yeah not
mostly
so much
academics yeah. So yes, absolutely, that has been something that through from when I became a Christian to still now that I have to like figure out in different aspects of my life how does that tendency
yeah
how does that fit in?
Yeah, how does it help? How does it hurt?
Exactly.
All that,
yeah.
You have to think about how can this drive to do well, can it be redeemed, right? Because as you said, you're looking at your life, you got your new self, your new identity, and you're looking at your old life. It sounds like you weren't living a crazy immoral life.
Right.
But there are things in your life that you can go, okay, I haven't been like seeking God, or God hasn't been the
yes.
center of this piece of my life. And now how do I redeem that? How do I bring God into the center of these things?
Exactly.
They may not be immoral things, they're just
exactly.
part of your life, right?
Yeah. Like, so it was definitely a shift in like, what am I going to pursue because of my faith now?
Mm-hmm.
Is it worldly achievement?
Yeah.
Or is it, you know, still having ambition, but towards God?
Right. Yeah.
So that's, yeah, that's had to filter in through, you know, A, figuring that out in what I'm doing with my life, in how I see my own sin and my failures. Mm. So like, when it would be when I sin, I would think of that as like, complete failure, like
yeah,
I have not
yeah.
achieved. And what God's been teaching me in the last few years is that, you know, it's not about, I mean, it seems like this is something that I should have known from the beginning.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it's
but
like
we're
still
all in process.
A process.
Oh, yeah,
gosh, totally.
Yeah.
That it's not about getting everything right, but when I've gotten something wrong, to
yeah.
turn to Him, to be able to repent and to seek his help.
You know, it's funny. I was reading in 2 Peter chapter 1 yesterday, and Peter, Peter says right away, like, hey, I know you know this stuff, but I feel it's my duty to remind
right.
you of this so
don't
that you don't
to remind
yeah,
you.
I don't want to hesitate to remind you to keep you awake basically to the truth and so that you won't forget God's grace towards you. So I think everybody has those things where I should know this by
yeah.
now, you know, one way or another. I should know this by now. And I think performance is one that our heart kind of defaults to.
Yeah.
You know, you might look at, I think if you look at someone like me, you're like, are you sure you default to performance? You're not doing that much. But if you look at you know, I see you at work and you're very like, I'm going to achieve, I'm going to do a good job. It's going to be done. It's going to be communicated well. I could see that being something to work through. So what did those years following your profession of faith look like in kind of sorting that out?
So I finished college. I started working out here. That's when I moved out here. I worked in the actuarial department at Safeco Insurance. And so when Ben and I got married in 2007 and had our daughter, Madeline, in 2008. Then I was planning to stop working then. Ended up working part-time because they asked me to, but then wanted to focus really on raising our family.
Do you feel like when you stopped working that something got lost in your life? I mean, I know that's a common thing for moms who are
yeah.
working, and then there's a sense sometimes of identity and achievement.
I think
there.
For me, not necessarily personally, but there was kind of like this, well, like people expect me, like this outside expectation of me to have like this long career, or successful career. So, and I do remember when I stopped working, I was like praying, like, well, now how am I going to spend my time now? And that's when I started getting into kids ministry through Bible Study Fellowship. And
that's awesome.
And yeah, that it was really, really great to put my efforts through that.
So like the Lord directed your efforts and energies towards something
right
now that you're not, that you weren't working anymore.
Totally wasn't what I expected for him to lead me to.
Yeah.
It's not, it wasn't on my mind at all. Yeah, so then, since then, we've, I don't think my life now looks like what I thought it would at all.
Yeah.
From being, you know, a kid. I'm homeschooling my kids. We've adopted our son, William. Like, that was never something that I thought would happen. 2014.
Okay.
What was that story? We don't have, we can cut this part if you don't want to. What was that story like of kind of being led to adoption or thinking maybe this is what God wants for us? What did that look like?
That was, at first, Ben had always wanted to adopt. He had a, he was like, I know that I can love any child and I want to be able to give a child a chance to be in a loving relationship where they're not, you know, treated differently. He had maybe experienced or seen secondhand where cases in which that wasn't the case and really felt led to adopt. And so we had planned to adopt after our first daughter was born. And if you don't know, we have two biological kids. There's that we decided to wait due to some circumstances. And at that point, when we put it off, was kind of when I confirmed it. It was like, oh, this is something that I really want to.
That's cool.
And so then a couple of years later, well, we had Mara, our second daughter. And then a couple of years later, we adopted William from Taiwan. And that has been the most refining experience. Going back to the whole, like, achievement thing, you know, our daughters are on one spectrum and William is on another. and that's wonderful, like, I'm not saying that in any like negative way, but it's like forced me, like, I thought I had things figured out, like, these kids are just like me, like, I know how to do this. And having William having a different set of strengths and weaknesses that I often want to put my own sense of achievement on him that he's not necessarily capable of. It's been a real adjustment and, like, you know, just learning that lesson all over again. And every time that I, you know, feel like I've failed in parenting, because it's such a different situation than with my first two kids, it's just taught me more about, it's not about getting it right and doing everything right.
What would you say that through that experience, you've gained some clarity or learned about God and his character and his ways? What would you say?
God is patient and loving. I mean, it's hard to put it into concise words at this moment, off the top of my head, but those are definitely.
Do you mean the, like, he's patient with you? Are you thinking? And so and therefore you want to be patient with your son?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what comes to mind at first.
Yeah, it is. I think thinking about what you just said, I don't know. It probably does give, all parents probably have if you have more than one kid, you have a kid that is more like you or mm-hmm. whatever. I think if you have a child, especially one that's brought in through adoption, that is just so very different, it is probably a good perspective of the way that God parents us, because we are not necessarily like God. You know, we mess up. We don't do the right thing in, yes. in those things. We have wills that are contrary to the Lord's. So it's probably, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I know my experience in parenting has been like, wait a minute, God's really, really patient with me. God's not
really gracious.
You're really gracious, yes. with me. Like,
put those words in my mouth. Yeah, do it.
About your thoughts on performance achievement, because we kind of want to go back to that identity we've been talking about a little mm-hmm. bit, but this idea that you've been a Christian for a while now,
mm-hmm.
many years under your belt as a Christian, as one who's faithfully seeking the Lord, and yet these things still crop up. I mean, that's my life too. That's, if we're honest, it's like right. the more that we learn, the more that we grow, the more we realize how much there is to grow, mm-hmm. right? Yes. That's a crazy thing. Like, I remember I had to fill out this thing when I was a brand new Christian for this ministry that I was applying for, and I had to rate my own spiritual maturity. I gave myself a pretty high score, you know? And then my buddy, my roommate, who was also working in the ministry, gave me like a lower score. I remember feeling like offended. And I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, I was like a kind of a brand new Christian. And now I look back and I go, oh my gosh, like my view of maturity was of myself. I had such a higher estimation of my maturity when I was very immature.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I've become more, I think I can say I've become more mature, I'm less inclined to sort of puff myself up, not all the time, but in general. And so how do you think through like the identity and achievement as someone who has been accepted by God because of grace and not because of achievement? Like, how do you process that stuff?
How do I process it?
Or what are your thoughts? I know it's a wide open question.
Yeah.
Let me try to hone in a little bit. Uh-huh. Like, when you feel convicted that you have defaulted back to performance posture or mentality, what do you tell yourself, preach to yourself, remind yourself to bring correction to that?
Yeah. I feel like I have to repent of it. Yeah. Okay. Like, yeah. That's... there's that. And then I remind myself of what is worthy in God's kingdom, what is lasting, mm-hmm. That, you know, I think a lot of times when I think about performance and achievement, it's because I want to be like seen by people or mm-hmm. something, or like, because that's what gives me praise and glory, and mm-hmm. I have to think about what will give God mm. praise and glory.
Yeah.
And I think I struggled with this recently too. Like stepping into ministry, like I was like, oh gosh, I'm not in the place where I want to be. Like I'm still, you know, struggling with mm-hmm. you know, like being a good parent.
There are air quotes there,
you know,
by the way.
There are air quotes there, yes.
Like, how can I lead families in the family ministry when I'm not even feel like I'm
exactly.
doing a great job, something
right.
like that.
Right, and I was like, oh, yeah, I can't do this. But God convicted me that I was, that was a putting it more on me than it was on what God could do through me.
Mm. Yeah.
And that I didn't have to achieve yeah. myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you, I know there are people who will listen to this in our church who also default back to like, well, I got to perform. I got to please. I got to do this, prove myself. What do you, if you find yourself leaning that way, what do you like, for lack of a better word, what do you preach to yourself at that moment? Like, what do you tell yourself in those moments?
Yeah. I think it's like preaching the gospel that, to myself again, the basics of like Jesus did all the work. Jesus has paid it all, you know. Yeah.
Tell us about your chicken nuggets video.
I'm so glad they went here. Yeah. This is the real reason you're on the podcast today, by the way.
So for those of you who don't know, I wrote a song and my talented brother-in-law produced a music video for it. The origin of that is I would often, when we were ordering food at fast food, say, I don't even know what the wrong one is. Chicken nugget. And my husband Ben
instead
would
of
say
the plural chicken nuggets. Or?
No, so you should put the emphasis on chicken nugget.
Oh,
so
chicken nugget.
Yeah, okay. Nugget.
I hear it now.
So we were at.
So it was an argument about nugget versus chicken. Nugget?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
So we were at Jack in the Box, and I was saying it over and over, just like this: chicken nugget. And I was like, oh, this is kind of like rhythmic.
This is kind of catchy. Like chicken nugget.
So then we were joking, and I was like, this could be a rap. And then like threw out a line. I think it was the first line. Chicken nugget. I love it. Want to hug it or something like that.
Chicken
and
nugget,
then my kids were, cracking up and said, you should, do this. And this was, a couple years ago now.
That's
so
awesome.
To entertain them, I actually wrote an entire rap.
Yes.
And
fantastic.
Then during the pandemic when my brother-in-law was around, we
and everyone's going crazy trying to figure out what to do, like in quarantine, and like creative juices are flowing. You're I gotta do something.
He's a missionary and does a lot of work with producing videos for ministry, and likes to do projects when he's around. And so I was like, well, if you want a project, I have an idea. And so he made a music video for me.
Do you kind of have like a sort of a silly side that a lot of people don't see, like comes out at home with like Ben and the kids? Or
they would say yes, okay. Probably.
Yeah. It is funny because all my interaction with Stephanie up to that point had been, you and Ben are both very kind of reserved people. But like once Ben's kind of the same, and once you get past that, there's a big wide world of hilarity there.
Exactly,
but I just remember being on Facebook in 2020 and kind of doom scrolling because there was so much going on, and then I come across the chicken nugget video. And I'm like, wait, that's Stephanie Garrison. Yeah. Wait, what?
Is it on YouTube?
It is on YouTube.
What should people search?
Yeah, you can search for C-Nugs, N-U-G-Z. it'll come up.
Everyone's going there now. Like this podcast is ending and they're going there now.
We might change the outro music if it's not copyrighted by your brother-in-law. Probably not. But we might change the outro music to some chicken nuggets.
We should check what the views are right now and see if the views spike a little bit after this podcast.
After this, I'll check it.
Live.
There'll be some analytics and whatnot. Let me ask, I guess, one more. We can keep going. But I know you are right now, you're in one of the beginnings leads roles. What is your vision for kids ministry here at Imprint? Like what would you love to see happen as a result of a kid being a part of kids ministry here?
I would love to see them love Jesus. That's the ultimate goal.
Preach.
Make disciples of little children. We hope to create a really welcoming, loving environment where they feel safe and they hear the gospel each week through our lessons, and that they would have a faith that grows and becomes their own. That's usually probably not going to happen in beginnings,
laying the groundwork.
That's awesome. Well, I think you're doing a great job with that. Naomi still talks about you like you're her best friend. That still happens quite a bit.
And there have been a lot of, just to encourage you, I've run into a lot of new families and talked to them, and I often ask them, oh, how are your kids doing? And they're like, oh, our kids love it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So even I've had people say, our kids, we've been to other churches, and this is the first time we've been at a church where we can drop our young one off and we don't have to come back and get them.
I also, to continue to brag, I think the way you guys have resourced has been great. The way you guys have resourced, not just hey, let's do something here on Sunday morning. I think that's important, but also what you are sending parents home with as far as here are ways to continue that conversation. Here are ways to really create some biblical literacy in your kids. Naomi eats it up. I know other families with kids that just eat it up. So you guys keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
Except I will say when I tried, I'm so not handy that when I tried to put that manger together, Christmas of 2020, I was like sending screws to the backside of these boards that were cracking left and right. I was like, I need some help.
That was special.
It's supposed to be easy.
It's supposed to be easy. I think Brian Hardy spent like 40 years cutting all those boards to size or something and sanding them down for everyone. So
did he?
I don't know. He did a lot of that. I'm
I've heard.
Sure,
yeah, so. That was before me.
I thought that was like a prepackaged thing.
No.
That
nope.
Came.
No.
Oh, my
yeah,
goodness.
He went to, I think they went to Home Depot and cut everything.
Oh, so. Brian Hardy. Shout out to you,
shout
brother.
Out to Brian Hardy totally. For so many things. Well, cool. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for being on here.
Yeah,
thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you.
I really appreciate
thanks
it. And, yeah, totally. See if you see Stephanie on a Sunday morning, say hello and
go check out the CNUGs.
Oh yeah, you got to go check out CNUGs. I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
This will be a Bound in Hope first.
Yes, it will.
That's awesome.
Oh man. All right. Well, hey, thanks so much for listening. We will see you next week. Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.
Chicken nugget, I love it so much I wanna hug it. Don't you forget, eating on a budget. Got a 5-piece, only $1.59. Living on a dime, order all the time. Processed meat is what I like to eat. Yeah, what a treat. Yeah, flavor can't be beat. Yeah, crispy on the outside, juicy on the inside. Oven baked or deep fried, eat until I'm satisfied. Hey, chicken nugget. Hey, chicken nugget, yeah, I love it. Won't you give them to me? Hey, chicken nugget. Chicken nuggets, yeah, I eat like a boss. Little cutlets like I'm playing with sauce. Sweet and sour, honey, mustard, barbecue, or ranch. Got it dripping down my hands, got it dripping on my pants, man. Uh-oh, it's my favorite food, and you know I'm always in the mood. And we go cruising through the drive-thru. I scan the menu, but I know what I'll choose. Hey, chicken nugget, yeah, I love it. Won't you give them to me? Hey, chicken nugget. Hey, chicken nugget, yeah, I love it. Won't you give them to me? Hey, chicken nugget. When I get the chicken, I'm snitching, so finger licking, disappearing from the kitchen like I'm a magician. When I've had the last, gotta get more fast. You know where I'm headed to get meat that is breaded. Burger King, Dairy Queen, KFC, Mickey D's, Check in the Box, Arby's, Chick-fil-A, Wendy's. What a meal, what a deal. Yeah, you know how I feel. I don't like chicken nuggets, no, I love them for real. Hey,